Invite you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 68. Psalm 68, as we continue this theme of our Lord Jesus in the Psalms. And in Psalm 68, I want us to listen for the things that are said here, different points, and then we'll focus upon this verse that connects to our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, all the scriptures about the Lord Jesus, every bit of it is, but where he's prophesied about, where he's specifically mentioned his work, his doing, those are the things that we're looking for. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Let them exceedingly rejoice. There's rejoicing of the saints, right? Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him in that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, and indeed he is. A judge of the widows. They've got no one to speak for their case, but he does. Is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. So those that are without families, he gives them a family. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. So those that are bound with chains, he brings them out. He frees them. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. And indeed they do. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, and the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Talking about his deliverance, talking about his working on his people's behalf. The earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Verse 8, even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. So that which is dry, he made wet. That which was desolate, he made to grow. He helped them. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Isn't that something? The Lord gave the word, and the company that published it was great. I think that's referring to us. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though she have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. A great, great blessing for all that are there partaking of that. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow and Salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000 and thousands of angels, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. And that's what's been being spoken about in it, the benefits of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord, the deliverance of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord, verse 19, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies and the hairy scalp of such as one that goeth on still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan. I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players of instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali, all the tribes being represented and the Lord having brought them. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents to thee. Rebuke the company of spearmen and the multitude of the bulls with the calves of the people, till everyone submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. And so I think the psalmist was kind of having a spell, wasn't he? The brother David, he was rejoicing in the Lord and then just telling about all these benefits, these blessings, these aspects of deliverance that the Lord has worked. He's worked that for Israel. And again, we are not Israel. We are Gentiles saved by the Lord and members called to his institution, his kind of institution in one of his churches. But we can, along with this, we can say, indeed, the Lord has delivered us. He's blessed us. He's given us hope and great promises indeed. And he will, no matter how this world looks or the things that we see, the things that we suffer, our Lord will help us and he will deliver us. And so, the blessings, the manifold blessings and goodness of the Lord shown to us. Tucked in this is this one, this verse here in verse number 18. And that's what we want to consider here this afternoon. In verse number 18, thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, the gifts are so good. The greatness of the gifts are so good. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Not in their rebellion, but be touched and changed by the Lord. It's one of his gifts, is to have a changed heart, even though we were the enemies and rebels against the Lord. So here, thou hast ascended on high. Ascending on high, what do we consider about that? Ascended on high. Well, the Lord is always high, isn't he? The Lord is always high. There's been no ascension of the Lord to go high, even before. I don't know how it is. Has the third heaven always been there? Or was the third heaven created with the creation? We know the first heaven was created. We know the second heaven, the space, was created. But was the third heaven always there? I would say that it would be, but how can I know if it was? But we know God has always been there. The angels were created. The other creatures that we see in different representations of the third heaven, the throne room of God, they were created. But God has been forevermore. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they have been forevermore. So ascend on high, they've always been high. He has always been high. Unless we go to consider about the Son of God. And what did he do? He descended, didn't he? He did descend. He condescended. He became a man. And you know what? that ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ is a testimony to the fulfilling and the completing of what he was given by the Father to do. Thou hast ascended on high. It's like the Lord, he declares in John chapter 3, verse number 13, as he's speaking there to Nicodemus, no man hath ascended up to heaven. We don't know the way, do we? We haven't got the wherewithal to make the trip. We can't even go there to plead our cause, which it would be worthless for us to plead our cause in and of ourselves. Jesus says, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. And this has always been a blessing and a marvel about what the Lord says, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Jesus is there standing or sitting before Nicodemus. It's clear that he is the Son of Man. He identifies with us, certainly through his mother Mary. And he became a man like us, but without sin, a different father. And we know when he fulfilled his gospel, when he fulfilled all that the Father gave him to do, when he spent that 40 days with his first church there between Judea and Galilee, he ascended into heaven, didn't he? And is at the right hand of the Father until it's time for the Father to say, Son, go get them. Go bring our children home. So in that light, and that with that understanding and consideration of Christ, thou hast ascended on high. And he's done that for us. He raised from the dead and he's gone back to the Father. It was necessary. He had to go back to the Father so then he could come and do the things that he's promised afterward. We have full expectation that he will, don't we? He will come again for us. He will do so. Thou hast ascended on high, speaking of Christ. Thou hast led captivity captive. I tell you what, there's a bunch there. Captivity captive. First, let's consider about the use of that phrase to the extent that we have it in the scriptures. You remember about when we were studying the book of Amos in Amos chapter 1, verse number 6. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away the captive. They carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. So there the Lord had a great problem with the Philistines because they took the Jews, took them captive, and then took them and delivered them to Edom, Jacob's brother. And the Lord was greatly disturbed by that. Carried away captive the whole captivity. Well, there's double emphasis there, but I mean, if you lose the battle and you are the prisoner, if you are held in the clutches and the grip of one that is greater, you are the captive. The captive can't move. The captive doesn't have any freedom. The captive can't go about like they did before because they're a captive. If you're not a captive, you can go about how you want, can't you? But one that is captive is restrained, is held. And so here it says they carried away captive the whole captivity. And of course, we know that's a reference to the people. The people are held. They can't make choices and decisions about where to go for themselves. And then they took them, the captives, the whole captivity, and they led them away to Edom. Another reference that we see that's even closer in the book of Judges. You remember that about Deborah, a priestess of the Lord there in that day. And Barak, who was told to go and fight the enemies of the Lord. And Barak wouldn't go unless Deborah went with him. And so she went with him and she told him, said, well, the victory is going to be not given to you. You won't get the glory, but a woman will get the glory because you insisted that I go with you. And so after the in the blessing of the Lord and the victory that the Lord gave the nation, and those tribes that were involved, they sang a song. And in chapter 5 of Judges, we see about that. And this song speaks in verse number 12, in Judges 5, verse number 12. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, utter a song. And Deborah and Barak are singing this. And it kind of seems like they're singing parts and singing back and forth. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive. And so that double emphasis there, lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Aben-Noam. Lead them. So lead the captive. Well, they conquered Sisera and all of his. And Jael, she drove the nail through his temple and killed the general of the opposing army. And those troops, those people that were in that opposing army, they were taken captive. Their weapons were taken away. They couldn't load up and go back home. They were held. And so as they sing here, part of the victory is, it seems that Deborah sings back to Barak, lead thy captivity captive. You can take them, the captives, wherever you want to take them. You can take them and lead them. You can keep them captive. It's double emphasis. The captivity is the people. And you can keep them captive and then take them on to wherever you want to. Well, back in Psalm 68:18, we know this speaking of Christ, that we have understanding that that's the case. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. I think there's several things that we could understand about this. What is it that holds men, women, boys, and girls in fear? What's the greatest thing that we fear in life? Death. And you and I know well that when we die, and we're just taking things and we're parsing them down like David did, like Solomon did, nobody comes back from death, do they? Just don't do it. Death is a great captor. Once death has got you, death has got you. David declares in some of his Psalms, I believe it's David, he says, Lord, give me life. Help me to live. Because from the grave, I can't praise you. Because the grave holds one captive. So the grave, death, holds us captive. What's another captor that has got mankind? Is it not sin? Sin has got, it's so insidious. It's got us, we don't even know it, and we are wrapped up in it. The scripture tells us, it is a taskmaster, sin is unto us. And it's when it's got its hooks in us, we've got it by nature, we've got it naturally by will, and sin has just got us. We are held captive. But you know what the Lord Jesus did? What is it that he did with death? He abolished death for his people. He leads death captive. He paid for our sins, didn't he? He took care of sins, and the captive ability of sin for his children, for his people, for those that repent and believe and trust in him, he relieves. He led captivity, that which captivates, he led them captive. Well, there's also the object of those things, us, the people. Being captivated by sin, we had no help and no hope. Destined, doomed to die, not only physically, but eternally. And you know what? He went and rescued us. those who were captive are now captive to Him. And isn't that a blessing to be captive to the Lord? What can separate us from the love of our Lord? What? Not even you. Not even you. I have a friend in high school is when we first met, and he said, well, yeah, that what it says there in Romans, that all those things can't separate us from the love of God, but I can. Yeah. No. And who in their right mind would want to in the first place, being saved? But not even ourselves can separate us because we are captive by Christ. This psalm has spoken about the enemies of the Lord. He will judge sin, won't He? He's going to deal with every sin, every transgression. Not one soul escapes. Will they be able to run away and hide? Will the unrepentant and unbelieving be able to escape? Will the pursuit to travel to another planet get them far away? No. The Lord will lead captive His captives in that regard, and He will deal with sinners. There's no escape of Him. Oh, seek the captivity that is found in Christ and forgiveness of sins and the blessing of eternal life. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Here the word received is used, and as we take a look at it, I think we understand it just at face value, but just to be sure, thou hast received, it means to take. You give me a gift. I take it from your hand. I receive it. Okay? Other synonyms that would be involved would be to fetch. So that gives an indication of going and getting. Right? In the old days, it would say, go fetch some water out of the well. Or to get. Another word that is connected is reserve. Thou hast reserved gifts for men. Another word that's like fetch or get is seize. We seize a hold of it. Get a hold of it. Thou hast received gifts for men. Received gifts. Fetched gifts. Seized gifts. We needed the price paid for our sins, didn't we? And the greatest gift that has been given is the gift of the one who did so, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus, speaking to the woman at the well there at Sychar in John 4, you know the account, verses 9 and 10. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, unto Jesus, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, verse 10, if thou knewest the gift of God, He is that gift. And who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked him of him, and he would have given thee living water. If you're here and you're not saved, hear that. Ask of the Lord. The Lord said, if you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who I am, you would ask. He's got the power to give it. He's got the power to do it. He is that greatest gift given. John 3:16, the chapter before, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave Him. There was no other sacrifice, no other payment that would work but the Son. In that picture of Abraham taking Isaac and laying him upon the altar and the stack of wood, the pile of wood, the ordering of the wood there, so did the Father give his Son. Thou hast received gifts for men, it says, to reserve and seize. Well, indeed, there's more to it, isn't there? The gift of the Lord Jesus, but we'll look about and consider about all he's done. But in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, we know that verse, don't we? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation. We have Jesus, through whom salvation is accomplished, but we have the salvation, the rescue itself. Delivered from darkness unto light. From not being able to hear, to hear. From not being able to see. For our sins being washed away and removed from us as far as the east is from the west. A gift. A comforter and help in this life. By doing what Jesus did, he brought an abundance of related gifts unto us. He went and seized them. He got them. Because they could not be given unto us until he did what he did. We have a great gift of the Word of God, don't we, in our day. The Word of God in our own language that we can read and have. We have the gift of eternal life that we will live forever with Him. We've got the gift of His church. Fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. It says here, received gifts for men. Reserved them for us. The scripture speaks about our inheritance and that which is reserved for us in heaven. In Romans chapter 4, we have some things that are written here that are related that I want to touch upon this. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Let's take a look at this in Romans 4. What shall we say then, verse number 1, that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. The gift of faith. To go from not believing to believing. In the complete, total sufficiency of Christ to take care of everything for us. I trust him to save me. Don't you? I trust him that what he has said about taking care of my sins, he has done and will do. We believe and trust him that his word in the scripture is valid for us to live by. Even though the world screams against it, even though our own flesh would maybe balk at it, we trust him and believe him that what he says will work. That he's faithful. If he's made a promise, he'll keep it. To believe the Lord. I tell you what, that's a gift. Gift from God. Now to him that worketh, the reward is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Do you believe that the Lord, through Christ Jesus, has justified you? Yes. Yet another gift. Isn't that something? His faith is counted for righteousness. He goes on here and speaks about David. We've jumped down to verse number 13. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham nor to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. We trust the Lord that He will do it. Because He's promised He will graciously do those things. And you know what grace is connected to? A gift. A gift here. A gift there. I don't mean them to be just sporadic and wild. I'm not saying that, but there's a gift He gives here, and a gift He gives here, and a gift He gives here. We've been given the righteousness of Christ. We've been given the Holy Spirit of God. We couldn't have been given the Holy Spirit of God had not Jesus came, lived, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again for us. Isn't that wonderful? Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which also is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. We have the promise of the resurrection, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Yeah, we believe in the unseen, but God has said it, and it is so. So many blessings, so many gifts that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. Back in Psalm 68, verse 18, thou hast ascended on high, Christ has, because he descended. Thou hast led captivity captive. Oh, we praise his name for rescuing us so. And all those things that he's defeated for our sakes. Thou hast received, reserved, fetched, seized, taken gifts for men, and he's given them and gives them unto us. And then it goes on to say, yea, for the rebellious also. For the rebellious also. That the Lord might dwell among them. There's one verse that I failed to read in regards to this of receive gifts for men. It's what the Lord Jesus prayed in John 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Again, the gift of eternal life. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. To know him is a gift. Not to know about him, that he's over in some faraway place. And he's been good to us, but he's over there and keeps to himself. But that we have intimate knowledge and relationship and fellowship with him. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the Son, whom thou hast sent. And then we come to this, yea, for the rebellious also. The gifts are so great and so wondrous that they extend indeed to the rebellious. Jesus said in Luke 5, 31 and 32, and Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Sinners against God. Because remember what it says in 1 John 3, 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. That is the law of God. For sin is the transgression of the law of God. And that's serious business. We can read that real fast and maybe think that it's a light thing. It's, well, I made another mistake. No, it's not a mistake. It's a transgression of God's law. God has said do or don't, and we've crossed that and guilty before Him. But the Son descended and ascended. He has led things that were to our detriment and destruction. He's led them away captive. He's led us in salvation captive to Himself. He's given, He's procured gifts and given them unto us, even to the rebellious, that the Lord might dwell amongst them. That's the Lord looks forward to having us, having His children with Him in glory. So then, is there a New Testament connection? Well, yes, there is. We find that in Ephesians chapter 4. And so quickly, let's take a look. There's a reference to this passage, and we've broken it down, I trust, well, here in the Old Testament. And it's speaking of Christ specifically, and it's telling about salvation and all the goodness that goes along with the Lord having saved His people and saved His children. So then, what is it that we have here in Ephesians 4? Well, let's read here in verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. We've got a job to do. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. We're people, and we can get on each other's nerves. We need to remember that. And love one another like the Lord loves us. Because listen, if we've ever got on anyone's nerves, it's the Lord's nerves. You know how I say that. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Unity of the Spirit of God in this bond of peace in the body. He says here, there is one body. That's the Lord's kind of church. One Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. The vocation that's mentioned in verse number 1. One Lord. One faith in our Lord and in Christ Jesus. One baptism that signifies what He has done for the individual and for sinners. One God and Father of all. Not a multiplicity of gods, one God who is our Heavenly Father, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's another gift. Another way of saying it, right? But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We're all given different gifts. All of us are by the Spirit and the design of the Lord are given many of the same gifts and calling that we are to pursue. But then we are given differing gifts at sometimes too. The Lord does that according to His work and His design. But every one of us is given grace, gifts, graciousness. We don't deserve it, but He's given it. According to the measure of the gift of Christ, like it says there, received gifts from men that He's given unto us. Wherefore, He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, a parenthetical insert here, now that He ascended, what is it? But that He also descended first in the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended far up above the heavens, that He might fill all things. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which each joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So here we see in verse number 8 a reference to what we saw over in Psalm 68. And the apostle uses this part about the gifts and the subject that he's talking about now. Okay? Over there in Psalm 68, it's very clear about the context of it all being about salvation and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation of souls, and even the rebellious are saved and made his own, that God would dwell among us, and we know even in us. But here, he's talking about the unity in the faith and the work and that of the Lord's church and our calling and all of these things in this time, in this New Testament age. And so he says, he's speaking to this church in Ephesus, and he says, there is one body and you are one. Olmsted Baptist Church, we are one body. There's one kind of body. There's not different kinds of flavors. There's one body of the Lord, one kind of church, speaking in the institutional sense. One Spirit, as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's very narrow. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ individually in the church. That's the reason he says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. We've dealt with all that. And gave gifts unto men. We'll skip the parentheses part, verses 9 and 10, where he goes on to say, and gave some these different ones. We see that the application here is and made even more clear by the words that the Lord has given gifts unto his churches. He's given gifts by what he's equipped each and every one of us with, to take the place that we have, that he's given unto us in his church. How would it be to deal without some of your fingers? That would be bad, wouldn't it? Parts of the body, we would be compromised, wouldn't we? Every single member of Olmsted Baptist Church is fitly joined together by the Lord. And he says here, the gifts that he has given are leaders, preachers, teachers in his church. That's what he has said here. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And so that's the Lord's working in the church. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, that we might mature. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, which is what's being spoken about in earlier verses, and the knowledge of the Son of God. We need to know more about Jesus. More about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. Unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to be like him. The gifts that have been given are these in the church. Gifts given to you and gifts given in leadership. I don't know if you've ever attended a church that was maybe without a pastor, or they claimed to be a church and there was no leadership. Maybe you haven't seen that. I've seen that at times where you have this body, but nobody is leading. And it's just kind of like a melee. You'll have a bunch of people that are wanting and trying to lead, and They don't go anywhere or do anything. Or maybe the leadership that's supposed to be there is AWOL. They're gone. It just runs amok. What the Lord is blessed with, and the application of the verse here, is leadership, teaching, and instruction for these purposes. Perfecting the saints, work of the ministry, edifying of the body, unity of the faith. Till we come to that. The full measure, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, verse 14, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Talk to our visitors about how Alexander Campbell came through this part of the world in his day and ravaged so many small little Baptist churches that were unsteady and unsettled in their doctrine. Took them over. And made a denomination, which is godless, which is wicked in their doctrine and their teaching. Afoul of the Word of God. So I'm thankful for the way the Lord's blessed us. I know that's self-serving, being your pastor. But it's good for us to have the way that the Lord has put things together. It's good for us to have that. I'm thankful for the teachers and those willing to teach in our church in all facets and all aspects. You are a gift of God unto us. And then this that we love here, but speaking the truth in love. That's what we need to do. That's a theme of the church for many years. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him, into our Lord, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That we might glorify Him, amen? That we might represent Him well. That we might take our place with the gifts He has given us in salvation, the gift He has given us in His church, and with the gifts He has given us individually, our talents, look to glorify Him and further His kingdom. It makes me think, well, let's read this. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Are you a member of this church? You're a joint, and you need to be receiving nourishment, and you need to be giving nourishment. Don't think that as a member of Olmsted Baptist Church, do not think that you're just here to ride along. You're a part, and you've got a place, and you've got a work to do in this work that the Lord's given us. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, not the biggest part of the parts, but every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, and received gifts for men. It makes me think of what Paul wrote into the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12. This needs to be our motto and what we go by. And this, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, I'm in pursuit, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. I'm glad to be Christ Jesus captive, aren't you? And I want to pursue Him and be like Him. And be used of Him in the work that He's called us all into in our church. He's done wonderful and great things for us. He's rescued us. Praise be to His name. Are we not thankful and glad that we who were so captive to sin were rescued and taken captive by Christ Jesus, given such wonderful and eternal gifts, even ultimately our ascension one day to be with Him forevermore. He ascended, and so will we. All part and so many of the wonderful gifts he has blessed us with.